Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
I'm opening. We have an eye, sort of a nostril, two teeth. One of the teeth has a small cavity. Close call, folks, but I think we got here just in time.
Presented by Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro, this is Anatomy of a Movie. In-depth discussions and breakdowns of various movie titles. And now that you've seen the movie, let the dissection begin.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another Anatomy of a Movie here on the Popcorn Talk Network. If you're watching
and listening
next to me, you will know that we're doing Minions, because John Comerford is wearing his Minion goggles.
That's right. Yes.
And his yellow shirt.
In honor. Of course, yes. I've been accepted into the community as an honorary Minion.
I'm jealous. I'm excluded from the Minions.
You have to be very short to start out. Sure. You have to be a suck up, and you have to do whatever the evil person says.
Oh.
So there you go. That's it.
You have to be male.
Yes, and male.
And have a
and male.
Concise short name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. John.
John
works.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we figured out the qualifications. Mm-hmm. We have Sarah Stretton returning after a long hiatus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Welcome back.
It feels like a long time.
She's been taking the summer off, it seems like. And we have Dimitri Panos.
Hello, movie fans. Welcome.
And I am your host, Phil Svitek. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Minions, let's start with overall impressions.
I'm doing my overall impression. This is about as good as I can get.
I can't do the voice. I only do dissections.
I wish I could do the voice. Yeah. Banana. That's about all I got. I was gone last week, and I was in Comic-Con. And so, for me, one of the highlights of the movie was, like, watching a villain con, because I was like, hey!
You were just there.
I mean, the Minions... The essence of the Minion is kind of the essence of the movie. They're funny at points. They're like, they stand out at moments. And there's not a whole lot going on upstairs. That being said, I thought there were cute moments in this movie. I was a little surprised by some of the routes of humor they went to. Mm-hmm. Like when the security guards stripped down and were like, dancing around in their underwear. I was like, wow, hello, children's movie. This is interesting.
What about the Minions?
Thonged Minion?
Yeah.
Thonged Minion.
Yeah, Thonged Minion.
Oh,
nice.
There's
nice.
A whole just range of that that I was like, oh, goodness, if I was babysitting right now, talking like, don't remember that part, kids. Let's not mimic those scenes. Would have been very interesting. But the Minions are cute. I think that personally, if I'm rating this, Minions versus like Despicable Me versus Despicable Me 2, still the winner is Despicable Me. Like, I like the original best.
Fair enough. Go ahead, Dimitri.
Yeah, I mean, just taking a... Following along the lines of Despicable Me and Minions, yeah, I think what the greatest difference is the Despicable Me movies had like a heart and something to latch onto.
Yeah.
For me... first and foremost, let's be clear. We're talking about a movie that for anywhere from 5 to 7 years old, 8 years old, like they're gonna love it. No. Okay. So whatever we say for our audience who's 5 to 8 years old, don't pay attention to what we're saying.
They won't anyway.
I would just say, like, they could have used the adage, a little goes a long way. Mm-hmm. Here a little went a little bit too long. Mm-hmm. I felt, you know, I liked the music references in this movie, which I thought were a ton of fun. There was also the surreal mixed message thing. Phil and I were talking before this started, and I think you were hinting at this. There's a scene with a Brady Bunch of crime going to VillainCon. Like, they knock off a convenience store, and they get away. And I was just, like, looking around going, okay, somebody's gonna kids, that's not good. That's bad. That, like, you don't, You don't go in with, you know, an escape. And it was just really weird for me. It was just a weird message. That being said, the kids, number one, probably the youngest audience I've been to a movie with in a long, long time. But I give credit. It was a 6 o'clock show at the Cinemark in Playa Vista. These kids were very well behaved. Mm-hmm. This movie had their attention focused. They were not running up and down the aisles. There was no like screaming or anything like that. And I have to say that the movie going experience, laughter is infectious. Well, you know, the innocence of child laughter too. You just couldn't help but like enjoy this movie when you're seeing it with that audience. So there you go.
And John?
I'm kind of like Sarah. The movie is reflective of the Minion. There isn't a lot going on here. And, you know, I was just thinking, I'm going, you did such a good job with Despicable Me and having a story. By the way, can anybody take me seriously right now if you're looking at this?
Just so, looking through exactly. The
guy. I take you about as serious as I took the movie.
There you go.
No.
And I'm just going, yeah, because it has some lots of fun in it and stuff like that, and that's all enjoyable, and they're cute and fun, and, you know. But I'm just going, just pick a story and actually sit. Tell me a story, and because I thought you would have got a lot of mileage out of that. You kids, you're always going to get with the right. Fun stuff and the goofy
absolutely.
Stuff. But you really would have had the adults with a story that you could actually tell. I mean, and it was like they kind of tried to stay, and then it just all kind of went fitted away. And
yeah, it's like they didn't try.
No,
almost.
Well, I think they went, look, it's Minions. We got to get them out there as quickly as we can. Let's just, and then they kind
well,
of like, phoned
we'll,
in the
rest. We'll talk about the production of it. I mean, they got. You know, they kept pushing it back. But for
like
me...
3 years, yeah.
For me, I mean, in some sense, they're like the equivalent... They're the animated equivalent of like the Three Stooges, the Marx Brothers, but without fully, you know, being there.
But
here's the thing. I didn't mind it at all. I think for me, I did enjoy it. I thought that it was good just to go to a... For lack of a better term, and in the spirit of which this is intended, a dumb movie.
This is I think that's where fair. I think that there's moments where you can find the laughter, and what the Minions do is funny and entertaining. Mm. But what was the problem for me is each individual scene they made too short, and we ended up at like 80 locations. For instance, when you're talking about the torture scene. Mm-hmm. I feel like you could expand upon that. I feel like that section could be so much longer. But they like speed through and they're like, we have to make this funny very quickly. And then the same thing, or like when they're stealing the crown, they're only against the keeper of the crown for 20 seconds. They're only with the Yetis for 20 seconds. It just like, it bounces too quickly almost. Like, I'm fine with the funny jokes and the short attention span, but at least I felt like that would have helped the story is if they developed those chunks to be longer. Like, Villain Con, so short. Road Trip, so short. We were just bouncing around too quickly.
Yeah, and
here's the thing. Talk about, you know, a 5-year-old's attention span. That's as much as you're gonna get, probably.
And that's why it's like sort of hard to like really bag on this movie. They didn't strive to go higher. Like they didn't. They didn't go a Pixar or even to an extent to a DreamWorks route of things. They really knew the audience that they wanted to make this movie.
They surely did. But I'm just going, boy, you missed out. I know so many adults that were really looking forward to the Minions because they just so enjoyed them in the other movies, and they couldn't wait to see what they were going to do with them in their own movie. And they're the ones who are disappointed. It's like, what? That, what? Because all the fun stuff is fun, sure, but you couldn't add a story there. Because what Sarah was mentioning is with those scenes being clipped, there's no real through line. It's kind of like, okay, let's set piece, let's set piece, let's set piece.
I get that. And like, I'm not arguing against that.
No, I'm just saying they missed the opportunity because they could have had the kids and they could have had the adults.
Let's talk this. Let's start with the three of them, right? Kevin, Bob, and Stuart. Only because, you know, as much as the Minions and, you know, we keep cutting away to the rest of them and the whole idea is we got to save the tribe type of thing. But it's really their relationship. And, you know, how did you feel about them? Because if you don't latch on to them, if you just do view them as idiotic characters rather than like, oh, wow, you know what? At the end of the day, they're forming a bond. They do care about each other.
I thought they did a really good job of making them separate individuals. And you could obviously understand their relationship. And I was impacted by that. I mean, I related to it, and I thought they did a good job of that. I don't think they did a good job of selling the idea that, oh, I have to go, you know, save the tribe. I mean, yes, it's there, but it's not like you felt like there was any big stake at all. Mm-hmm. You were not emotionally attached to that. Oh my God, what will happen to them? No.
Well, there was no heart. Again,
yeah, that's the thing. There was no heart. Emotional attachment to it.
And again, it's just, you know, I don't want to bag on this movie because clearly they didn't strive to go higher. Mm-hmm. They really wanted to. This is where they went. Obviously, look, a 6-year-old, a 5-year-old is not buying their own ticket. So mm-hmm. they're getting parents in. And then at the end of the day, $500 million worldwide box office.
Yeah.
Like they're saying, who cares? Like, yeah, who cares? Like, we hit an audience worldwide, mm-hmm. yeah. and they win. Obviously, like, there's going to be another Minions movie. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere down the line there's going to be a quote-unquote live-action Minions movie. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's so many.
That's scary.
No, I'm just like, look, obviously.
They're voiced Sarah by one person. Can't exactly.
You know, obviously, they went a different route than the Despicable Me's, mm-hmm. where you do have a tether, and you have an arc. I mean, these Minions didn't learn anything at the end of the day. They're Minions. Mm. And let's face it, Minions really sort of kind of suck at their jobs. They don't do a good job at being bad all too often. So it's, you know, I don't know. I thought the movie was mediocre. And what we're talking about for our audience, I guess, is true. The people I saw it with four, and it was divided right down the line, 50-50. Mm-hmm. Some people said, oh, it's really cute and fun. And then another two were like, they could have been the Minions.
I mean, I will applaud them for, you know, in writing and in every movie pretty much we mm-hmm. talk about, you know, as the closer the characters get to their goal, right, the harder it becomes, you know, mm-hmm. and they just keep going down. With this, their stupidity keeps just, you know, inadvertently getting them in better, but yet simultaneously worse situations. Yeah.
I think that this movie is not my top favorite movie. It's not my top animated movie. Mm-hmm. But I still like the Minions mm-hmm. after seeing them. I still like the character of the Minions. This movie didn't make me tired of seeing them. Mm-hmm. It just made me wish that they had given them some sort of arc. Mm-hmm. And if this movie is supposed to tell you that the Minions are always friends and have been friends through millennia, then like maybe we could have seen them not just physically separated with like the tribe with the Yetis, but also some sort of like division, like different paths. Mm-hmm. Maybe they want to be with different villains, something to show me that they can be brought back together. Because I still like the Minions as a character.
Yeah.
I'm still entertained by them. I still think their jokes are funny. I do kind of want to see them have something that goes through that causes some sort of change. Mm-hmm. And even if that's just return to form of them being this unit that operates as one.
Let's talk through the story, and then we'll get into some of the other stuff.
Sure.
But for me, I think, I mean, with a movie like this, I think it's very hard to have an arc. I think for me, what would have been, you know, you have the equivalent of like him giving a speech of like, we need to do this, this, and that. And right as he's about to end this like heartfelt speech, he farts and everyone laughs and they're like, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's as good as you're going to get.
But
you could have had...
Or they don't take
him
seriously.
You could have had more feeling towards, oh my God, what will happen if we don't? And because you never really got the stakes of, okay, what's going to happen? Because they're Minions. They're going to survive.
And let's face it.
And I'm just saying that they could have really used that as the arc rather than a one individual arc.
I just think it's also hard to make a movie about supporting cast. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Minions became popular because of Despicable Me, but they were never really like, they were always in the background, they were always funny.
And that was
it
just
was like the Penguins
was
of Madagascar.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're supporting cast who lend to a bigger picture and who lend for comedy's sake, let's say. But you still have Tethered, you have your Gru, you get the kids, now you have the love interest for Gru, you have all those other stories that are happening, developing, that people can latch on to. Mm-hmm. And the Minions are just in the background going bee boo bee doo, like doing all this funny, crazy stuff that everybody got attached to so much that they made a ride at Universal based on the Minions. It's not necessarily Despicable Me, it's the Minions. And they've sort of kind of seeped into our pop culture in a way where people now know what Minions are.
Yeah, but that's the job.
I
So that was the task before them. Is like, okay, supporting characters who we were just going to use as comic relief are now the stars. Great, figure it out. And I go, and they had plenty of opportunity. They laid out some great story points, but they just never fully realized them.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. So, they just missed opportunities everywhere.
So let's talk stories. Let's talk about specifics of what you guys felt worked. And I mean, as Sarah's pointing out, the torture scene that worked for her, but it was too short.
Mm-hmm. It was just I felt like I was being bounced around, and that was what was not letting me get attached. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, with the torture scene, if you had made that last longer, right now we got some essence of, what's his name? Herb.
Yes.
Blurb.
Whatever his name is. But we got some sort of, he was starting to become their friend. Mm-hmm. If he had spent more time down there, I don't know, maybe they could have fulfilled that more and I could have actually felt like Herb was going to come to their rescue, mm-hmm. or be on their side.
There could have been some conflict.
Some sort of conflict. But instead, it was just so quickly pushed through that, to me, it was an entertaining point on one hand that they could survive torture, but it didn't add any story.
They knew that, let's put them in a torture chamber. Let's figure out how to make that work. But they didn't really make it work for the story. They just said, this would be fun to torture minions.
Yeah, and again, you make any scenes. Look, this movie was like 91 minutes. And that was overstaying its welcome for me.
Right.
But don't you think
it's because it didn't have a story that was engaging?
I mean, absolutely. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like this movie was long at 91, and the joke got tired because I got the joke from the beginning. You know, but let's talk about, I want to talk about the production because, it's like we're saying that they didn't put effort into this. Well, number one, they put in over 3 years, and they had three or four times they went in directions, in certain kind of directions, that they each time they did just said, no, that's not where they wanted to go. They started off with there being a male character that the minions follow throughout, and that didn't work. And then they changed it to a woman, a female character. And then they were like going, well, then it became too much about the female character. And I guess they just didn't want to repeat what we have going on in Despicable Me. Mm-hmm. They made it completely minions. And again, the target audience that they reached out for, I'm sounding like a broken record as well, but They hit that. Like, it's like they didn't have an aspiration to make this movie. Like, it wasn't offensive to adults. It was just entertaining enough that the adults could laugh with their kids, and then it's over. And it's like, okay, the next time you see it, it's going to be on Blu-ray. I'm not going to take you back.
Let me ask you guys just as an exercise. And by the way, you guys at home can do this. Think about it. When was the last time you saw a movie, a kid movie that you loved? Looking back on it today, and can you look back on it and say like, oh wow, it is as good, or can you see the flaws in it? And by the way, to your point, if you look at most Disney movies, they're like 82 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and especially old animated movies. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah,
but they still hold up.
Yeah.
Well, are you looking at it from a nostalgia perspective, or can you really stand back and compare to an extent?
Up. I mean, you're talking about that kind of movie?
If you weren't a kid when Up was
on top. Okay, The Lion King.
I beg your pardon.
The Lion King. Tarzan.
Okay.
Both of them still hold up for me. Both of them.
Steamboat Willie, I'm so old.
but it's a good question to ask, and I'm going like live action, animated, Snow White still holds up. Again, that's a different movie than I think Despicable Me and or the Minions. Mm-hmm. But even looking at there are some of the live action Disney movies that I guess if you're looking at movies like The Computer Who Wore Tennis Shoes, which these Kurt Russell movies I love, but if you show them to kids who are watching Minions of 5-6 years old, I think it might even, believe it or not, is going to be over their head. And it's going to seem really dated today. I love those movies to a nostalgic point, but I don't know how, I love Herbie the Love Bug. And I think Herbie the Love Bug, stands up today. I'm not sure. I think that Despicable Me stands up more, but I think now that the Minions have been made, it's going to be put into that category. Yeah. So years on down the line, the kids are going to love the Minions the same way that they loved Barney the Dinosaur and they love the Teletubbies. I mean, it's annoying. I'm just saying that there's a reason why that they were you know, kings of, you know, they were top of the charts, you know, top of the ratings for kids and all video sales and everything. There's a reason why. You know, they may have been annoying to adults, but they love that stuff, and that's what Minions sort of kind of falls in that area.
Could I chime in real quick?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, so I was checking out something on Variety, and something to that pertains to what you're talking about. And I think
this
might...
let everybody know who this is?
That's Jonathan, our engineer.
Sorry, just so in case everybody knows. Machine, you didn't introduce him at the top. This is Jonathan, our engineer.
I'm an ethereal figure, whatever.
Ethereal.
So, ethereal. I can't speak apparently.
That's all right.
All right, so I'll read the line that you can probably see on the screen. Minions cost $74 million to produce, a modest number considering that Pixar and DreamWorks Animation routinely spend north of $100 million on their features. So it's kind of cheap.
Maybe that's because it's like one voice for every single Minion.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that for what you guys are talking about, I think that pertains to it because maybe story's not really what they're worried about. Maybe they're just trying to.
I agree that it's not what they're worried about. Unfortunately,
clearly.
That's what I want
yeah,
them
that's
to
what
be
I think
worried
they miss.
About.
Because I agree with what everybody's been saying in the sense that, yeah, I think they hit their target market. I'm just saying they could have had a bigger market. And still hit both those markets.
Yeah.
I don't think that would have been a hard stretch. But it wouldn't have cost a hell of a lot more.
And I say, I agree with everything that's said, but at close to $500 million globally, they're like, F you, and we hit our lot of markets.
Yeah,
we did a good job.
And I'm saying, you could have made $700 million if you'd had a story.
But the thing is, if they want me to invest in this movie, I saw this movie, and I was planning on seeing this movie. Mm-hmm. If they want me to invest in another Minions movie, then I need one with more part. Because at this rate... Knowing what this one is, I will not see another just solely Minions
movie. That's what I'm saying.
Movie.
I'm saying they missed an opportunity. They left money on the table. They made $500 million. That's fine. But they could have made a bunch more.
From what Phil kind of pointed out was like the nostalgia that we feel towards other movies. Like I was thinking about like Flubber and whatnot. Is they did do a different. This isn't an original work. This is taking the B character. And that isn't something we've seen from a lot of other films. I mean, they typically take they'll take the B characters and they'll make like a TV show or they'll make like a straight to DVD. Like from Lion King, they made like Timon and Pumbaa and those, but all of those went straight to VHS, straight to DVD. We didn't see them really on the large screen. For Minions, for an animated movie, for a whole story film about the B characters, it kind of, I don't think it stands alone, but I'm having to rack my mind thinking for another kind of franchise that's done that.
So let's talk about, you know, the overall aspects of making this thing, because it doesn't seem like we're getting into story besides just... They could have used more story.
we could talk about the fact they didn't.
I think they laid in some nice things, and then they never realized them. I mean, they ended the whole storyline about finding, you know, saving the tribe. It's like the tribe seemed fine. They didn't need it. It's like, yeah, they're going to survive.
Well, there is something interesting that I'd read about being stuck in a cave. It was an interesting time period in which they were stuck in a cave. Because during that time period, probably the evilest of all evil was unleashed that they did not go follow at all.
Yeah.
Think about what time period, because they show up in the 60s.
Yeah.
It was between the 20s and the 40s.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
they can't make that movie.
Yeah, apparently not. But what's interesting, the other thing that I found
Minions
very,
have standards.
Even the Minions. The marketing of this movie, too. I also found that the funniest bits were in the trailer. I know, John, you don't watch trailers. But I felt that, the first third or a third of the beginning was in the trailer. Like, we saw the Dracula. We saw the caveman. We saw the bear bit. I think they took out a bit. I think they took out a bit about with the knight. But then they added the Egypt bit. And then they added the Napoleon bit. We saw the torture chamber. We saw Villain Khan. We saw the family.
Saw
the crown jewels. Saw
Scarlet.
A lot of this trailer, a lot of the movie was already in the trailer. Now, again, when you're talking kids, that's great. It's a repetitiveness that they're going to love it. And then when they see the movie, like, they couldn't have done a better job for that core audience. And I think that's why it sort of overstayed its welcome for me, is because I already seen it. I watched trailers, and with the family fair that's been out this summer, this trailer has been on a lot of movies.
There's only three things that aren't in the trailer. Herb, the sword and the stone.
Yeah.
And the queen drinking beer. That's pretty much it. That's the only things. Everything else you get from the trailer.
The Beatles. Yeah, a lot of the music references. Yeah, I mean, but it was just really, they really packed in a lot to that trailer. But I also think that goes to show that, well, geez, they just told the story in 2.5 minutes.
I just said something. Puss in Boots. That was the knockoff. I mean, that was from Shrek.
Shrek.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
A very good movie.
That is true. Yep. So. There we go. We got one. Found one.
I didn't see Penguins of Madagascar, so I can't tell.
Penguins definitely.
And that was, you know, again, I think they took their time with that and they made that thing work.
Sure.
Sure. So let's start at the beginning. So Despicable Me 2 ends. You get this little teaser about Minions, and then we're off to the races from there to make this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's now it's in the what do you call it? The ethos.
Sure.
Ethos. Definitely not the
ether. It's in the ether.
I was going to call it limbo, but
limbo. It's in the zeitgeist.
You know, and so, which by the way, you know, from everything that I've read, they pretty much had it, and you know, it was one of those things they kept pushing back the date in order to have it be most. They wanted to have a 2014 release date. Now, part of me thinks that, you know, they pushed it to 2015 so that way, you know, if you just saw an article came out like Universal hits 5 billion worldwide. Mm-hmm. So I think they're trying to like have a really, really good year and be able to tout that. So push it there. And, you know, where Despicable Me was so successful during the summer, that's why ultimately, from what I've read, they've pushed it there, and it makes sense.
It makes sense.
Sure.
You know, but, and that's that. Overall, that's what I got.
I think the marketing, I think the timing, I think the audience they chose, everything they did was very smart, except for the storyline.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, from a business perspective, as Dimitri has pointed out numerous times, they did their jobs for creating a movie that brings in money, brings in tons of product sales. Like the Minions are definitely, I think, when it comes to like stuffed animals, kids clothes, they're everywhere. And then on top of that, they did a ton of marketing where you would go through the grocery store and there was Minions fruit snacks and there was Minions Tic Tacs, and they, as a business entity, this movie did a wonderful job.
Did anyone read the comic books? Because there were
no
Titan Comics.
There are Minion comics.
They published four graphic novels.
I didn't. Yeah. I didn't even hear about these.
Yes. The series will include four comic book issues, two digest collections, two hardcover editions, and a paperback collection. Now, I'm not that into comics, expanded, so I don't quite know what that means.
They've just expanded to all markets that Minions can reach.
Well, Sarah's just got back from Comic-Con, well, so she knows everything about
everything.
Them. So
everything.
You can speak to that.
Yeah, just read that again. They did a trade paperback.
Two digest collections, two hardcover editions, and a paperback collection.
Right. So digest is literally digest form, like Reader's Digest. So these are all for kids. Mm-hmm. Like they do the same thing with Archie Comics as well. They're in a small digest kind of a form, like a mini comic book. You know, a hardcover edition, you know, I don't see kids reading hardcover comics, so there's a collectible factor, and then they usually will take the hardcover and turn it. Yeah, and then they'll turn that into a paperback with all those collections in the one paperback, which is your trade paperback form. But they weren't in leaflet form or pamphlet form, which is like the one-offs, to my knowledge. I mean, I don't know. I did not seek out
the Minion comics.
The Minion comics. So, you know,
I was not aware of them until this.
Right. So, and they could have been like single-issued comics. I don't know how many issues they may have come out with on that. So, but obviously, when the father, who is a comic collector, is trying to find something that his kids can read, they will go to the Minions and give it to them. That's so. True. Yeah, you know, and going to what Sarah was saying about marketing is that, yeah, really, it was another huge push, much like Jurassic World, where it was everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing, too, about the Minions that the writer-director, you know, cop to is that, you know, they have a love for silent films. Mm-hmm. And they felt that the Minions translate universally because... Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't have a language, but I would have to say
Spanish and Portuguese.
Yeah, it's a mix of all kinds of them.
Which, let's, you know, That was, I mean, I noticed that. Oh, obviously, because they're Mexican. You know, their Mexican numbers are really huge too, and they were pandering to an audience, rightfully so, because they spend a lot of money going to the movies. They did a great job at keeping the movie from being pirated. And when you, that was the most Spanish that the Minions had ever spoken in any of the movies. And obviously,
papaya,
like, papaya and gracias. But they also made sure to have other languages.
Oh, yeah, they had others.
Where they were saying thank you and such, but they bought a lot on, like, Univision. So, listen, they were going global, and they completely, listen, they did a great job. But just going back to the silent factor, they knew that they had characters that don't speak English. Yeah. That basically, so much like a Buster Keaton kind of a thing, or Laurel and Hardy, or Chaplin. It was hard, like, you know, it's like, this is what we're sort of kind of throwing back to. When you think about the music score that was playing with this too, the music score was bright and lively, and it shadowed the Minions. I mean, it was like the music score was bright and bubbly, much like in a silent film of comedy. You need that. It's a good backup to that. So I think that really helped a lot. But then I was thinking about, I said, what other characters of recent that don't speak English that we love? Well, there is Wally. There's R2-D2. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and it's interesting.
Groot.
To make, Groot. Yeah,
Let's go way back, Mr. Bean,
who they actually credit as well, because
is always on television.
Yeah, and they credit Mr. Bean because, you know, when you talk about a person who fails upwards,
Mr. Bean, or
Inspector Clouseau fails upwards all the time, too. So they were going back to sort of kind of like a slapstick kind of a thing that, you know, I don't think many people understand, you know, slapstick is an old art form that doesn't
commedia dell'arte. Yeah, way back.
It's great stuff.
Way before that.
So. And so I just, to an extent, I sort of credit that because the kids understand it. You know, we can understand it. We just wanted a little more story. And I don't know. I think that maybe as kids grow older, maybe they'll look back at Minions. Mm-hmm. I don't know, or maybe they'll look back at it fondly and nostalgically. Because I was thinking, geez, how many kids in the theater that I'm with right now, I'm wondering if this was their first movie ever. Like, their first, come on, I'm going to take you to a movie. Because, like I said, it was an exceptionally young audience that I went to.
Mine was about half and half.
Was it?
Yeah.
How about yours?
Just about half. Yeah, I mean, half and half.
Fairly young.
Mine was, as opposed to, say, Inside Out. Mm-hmm. Or it ranged into like double digits, 12, 13, 14, 15, maybe some like that were single digits, like 7, 8, 9. The audience I saw this with was, they were young. So I had to look around and I felt like asking, is this the first time in a movie theater? Or, because they just seemed to be that young. And so I wonder if that was their first movie ever. Mm-hmm. It was probably a blast for them. They, you know, I don't know.
Speaking of the humor and the age range that this was targeted, how did it hit you? Because I mentioned earlier there were a lot of instances for me that I was like,
inappropriate. Bordering on that?
Yeah, where I just didn't know. Like you mentioned the thong bit, which is in the trailer. There was a bit where I just felt like it was pushing into the inappropriate area.
I think there's enough. I think just throughout all of like animation, how many articles are there out there of TV shows and movies that we grew up with of like, you didn't think this was inappropriate, but it was inappropriate. Like SpongeBob, they did like a whole thing where like he put his pants on the right way and it looks like a boner. So it's like, if you know, as a kid, you're not looking out for that, but it's like,
it
looks like a boner.
I just felt like, true, you're normally not looking out for good. And like, yes, you go back and there's a lot of particularly like animated or family films where the sexual references are normally like dialogue, in my opinion. Or there's like innuendos or like it's harder to catch unless you already know what it is. Versus these, I feel, were very obvious, and rather than going over younger people's heads, I felt like they were just shoved in their faces. Mm-hmm. To the
Apart
point
from
where
the thong bit, what else?
The thong bit, the part where the officers strip down and like slap each other's butts as they dance and like shake their hair everywhere.
Is that really that inappropriate though?
I think
cops can't.
It's not awful.
Well, authority figures stripping down, I think, is one of the things.
Yeah, but it's
concerning to her.
It was just there's a lot of things
slapping each other in the ass. That's a little.
But like a lot of what we've mentioned, Dimitri mentioned them holding up the store and
that
like
was the only thing that
blowing
really
up the bazooka, evading the cops.
Could I pose a question?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
So this is an animated flick, and of course, unfortunately, I have not seen it, so okay. I can't say anything to
Speaking
it specifically.
With authority,
but you know, like back in the day, and this, of course, is a different era, so I don't know what was bad, but
yeah.
like Looney Tunes, it was the old cartoons. They were for kind of both demographics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, I feel like maybe some of those things probably, without a doubt, went over the kids' heads and were meant for the adults.
Yeah, and don't forget, you know, but bringing up Looney Tunes is actually not a bad point to what Sarah's saying is back when Looney Tunes were popular, those movies carry a ton of violence. A ton of violence that... You know, some parents had issue with, and you know, when you're watching Roadrunner beat the hell out of the coyote, or Elmer Fudd shooting down like there's a lot, or Rooster, or you know, Rooster slapping, like there's a lot of violence, just like there's a lot of violence in the Three Stooges. You know, things have only changed so much that now we're getting, you know, they're dressing down. We see a thong that was sort of kind of weird seeing Minion butt like that. But it's, you know, listen, Universal got a PG rating, which is weird. And, you know, they kept it a PG rating. I don't know.
It's weird. There is a little bit different. I mean, like you were mentioning about the Looney Tunes and stuff like that. The idea, first of all, that we've learned more and then maybe it's not a good idea to show a family, you know, putting on masks and getting a bunch of guns and weaponry.
knocking off.
Maybe that doesn't really belong in this kind of a movie. And, you know, because granted, it's just one gag and it doesn't have anything to do with the plot or character. It's just they wanted to throw in a gag. You could have come up with a better gag that didn't involve guns, especially in this day and age when, you know, we're so concerned about somebody acquiring one and just going in somewhere and blasting somebody. Now, granted, they didn't blast anybody in this, but the very next moment, the minions learn from that and they take a bazooka and they start shooting. So maybe you could have gone about this a different way.
And it is hard, though. It also is a testament to what is acceptable at the time. Because, like you mentioned, violence, and there is a lot of violence in this movie, and that doesn't nearly bother me as much. I said I wanted the torture scene to go longer. Yeah. Like, we do
and
see...
And that's a problem.
You said that it was too sexually explicit in that sense?
I guess. But, yeah. On the two, or at least with the ones that I noticed.
Right.
Because, like, we do see the minions partially responsible for the deaths of their previous bosses many times. And I wasn't affected by that. I just... And maybe that is because it is so prevalent in cartoons and other things. But for me, this was one of the most for demographic that I would say is under 10 visually sexual referenced films.
Shining like Sarah for the MPA.
So, if you were the babysitter, that would be really
uncomfortable. And if I was the babysitter, I would be like, okay, just tell your mom funny jokes about... Just don't tell her you want any, like, thongs around to the spa. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I don't think they get... I mean, listen, Shrek broke boundaries, too, by being a little bit raunchy. And you know, I think we've come... Things have changed. Mm-hmm. I think that the quote-unquote acceptance level to certain things has obviously changed. Because I've seen it in trailers. Like, I'm like, you just said what in a trailer? Like, that's on this movie? I'm like, you know, they're allowing, like, words. And again, I'm not a prude, but there was a time, like, you couldn't even use the word damn or ass in a trailer. And you have kids, like, saying, oh, you ass or stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, things have changed so much as to what's acceptable. What bothers me, though, is... Violence is okay, but, you know, a thong joke is not. Like, the violence shouldn't really be okay. you know, we shouldn't be knocking off. Like, it was just a surreal thing for me because I was just looking going, okay, kids, you know that what they're doing is just wrong. and I know that they're minions. It was just a very, very, very mixed message. But at the end of the day, they really do suck at their jobs because they can't be bad. They're not very good at being bad. And because they're not good at it, the good guy sort of wins or they sort of learn. It's just weird.
Also, in the previous movies, the way I remember it, and I haven't seen them in a while, is it's typically almost like villain versus villain. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where the primary heart is. So when in Despicable Me, it's like Gru versus that, like, a guy who's like
super villain
or when in Despicable Me 2 it's like him finding this love interest and then this the guy they're fighting is kind of is also a villain like that's what we're fighting against evil versus evil and then we're hoping for the Gru
the good side of it
to be the heartfelt one who has the family and the relationship
the heart
and
because of these girls.
Yes versus in this one we are watching Sandra Bullock's character Miss Scarlet fight the Queen of England. It's different.
You know, it was kind of a weird line to toe, but did you guys have any sort of emotional connection to her?
To who? Scarlet?
Yes, because I mean, you know, there was that sadness to her of, you know, the reasons why she wanted the crown ultimately. Now, it's a flawed reason, certainly, but there is still that, like, oh, you poor child. You had a crap childhood.
But
that's the reason.
Yeah. But you know, Phil, you bring up a great point, and that, and I think we can all agree to this, is that the way that they brought that up was fine, and for a moment, I thought, okay, there's the thread of heart that I'm going to find that the minions in one way, shape, or form are going to where Scarlet Overkill is going to realize that stuff really isn't important and maybe find a little bit of love in her heart and maybe change. But then I was thinking, well, but that's what Gru did. Like, in a sense, so they're just making another female Gru. But I was just thinking that was the one character maybe they were going to turn us around on, and maybe she could be a little sympathetic, but, you know, she was just like a Looney Tunes villain. Like, you know, if at first you don't succeed, try something else.
I was fine with her not having that big of an arc or whatnot, just because I knew that she wasn't supposed to be the main character of this. I was looking for it more in some sort in the Minions. One thing I will give her character is I did not expect the whole little girl trauma angle, and I didn't expect the husband angle for her as this evil villain who is all mushy gushy with her husband. Like, both of those I did not see coming. So I was happily surprised. Mm-hmm. I'll give it that.
Speaking of that, just in general, I was very curious going into the movie who because, you know, the trailers kept all the various people that were in it, you know, Sandra Bullock, and, you know, we knew who she was going to play, but then who was John Hamm going to play, and everyone...
Michael Keaton,
So Michael Keaton, Allison Janney, Steve Coogan, Jeffrey Rush, Steve Carell. You know what I mean? So it's like, who are these people going to play? Because we knew going into it that all 899 minions, couldn't be 900.
Right.
We lost one along the way. Minions were voiced by the creator.
Right.
And so how do they fit into this? And how would we like them?
Mm-hmm. And I love Jeffrey Rush's narration. I mean, Jeffrey Rush's narration was a lot of fun because it was sort of kind of, it was like that over the top, almost sinisterish, but yet likable. And he has a great voice to listen to, and it sort of kind of bridged everything together. Look, for me, Minions, you know, great use of music. I loved the references of music. You know, again, the monkeys. You know, hey, hey, we're the Minions. Like, I love that. I love the Beatles. I loved. Using Van Halen's Eruption at the end, which was 10 years ahead of its time at the time, you know, being
there's a few inconsistencies. Yeah. People even pinpointed the British currency and how they used it, and then it's like, All right. I don't even know adults that would know
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
But I was just like,
you're trying to look for reality. Who's
putting
in
number one? I thought the monkeys to me like cracked me up. But when you had Eruption in there, I was like, okay, that's really that's hysterical. Like that's Eddie Van Halen's Eruption. I mean, that was great. The whole guitar bit. You know, so there were bits that I liked about this movie, and I appreciate the work that went into the movie. Look, this movie could have gone direct to home video. Mm-hmm. But you know that would have been leaving money on the table. They would not have made $500 million globally. And that's the other thing too, is globally it's staggering to me that in all these places that they opened this up in, people were going in droves. Like they were going in droves overseas. So obviously, Universal, Despicable Me has tapped into an audience vein that the Minions, like, it didn't, Gru didn't really matter. It was great to see him at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. And, like, the audience I saw with, there was some, not acceptance, but there was, like, some recognition. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, that's cool, that's Gru, but when you talk about that kind of global box office for an animated feature, obviously, it's a franchise. I mean, this is a pure franchise, and Universal is just going to run with it. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised. There's going to be another Minions movie. I don't know where they take it, but again, there could be a live-action blend with Minions, you know, in the quote-unquote real world. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to go some logical step, but are we going to get a Despicable Me that, where do they go with Despicable Me 3?
Despicable Us.
Oh, that's actually, that's a good idea. Universal, that's a good idea. Credit him. No, but where do they go?
He does have a family.
Let me ask you, do you think 1960 was a good time? I mean, you know, you guys obviously like the reference. Dimitri's going on and on about it, mm-hmm. but just in general, I mean, most of these kids aren't going to know these differences. You know, even for me, I'm not going to know, like, the Saint Bewitched and Dating Game that, you know, they reference in TV show.
But I love...
Yeah.
See, I mean, I did.
I mean, the mere fact that they did.
I think they really did want to tie it back into the Groot story, just because now you have all these kids who love the Minions. Now, mm-hmm. on the oh, that guy at the end has now become. I think they'll just keep this self fulfilling loop. But I think that's why they did it. I think, and it was fine, because I don't think the kids care if it was 68, 78,
88. No, I don't think so either.
I didn't think it mattered. Mm-hmm. I think that was fine.
Yeah, I mean, I did find the Nixon bit funny. Finally, a man we can trust.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Because they could have gone after him.
Yeah.
But in his Minions. That would have been, by the way, this would have been so over so many people's heads, but like if they cost Watergate.
Yeah, see, I was hoping they would do stuff like that. Is how bad can they get?
I mean, that would be, yeah, because, you know, it would have been
Forrest
very
Gumpian.
Funny. That's it, exactly. Mm-hmm. So.
Which I thought that's what they were trying to go mm-hmm. with, but, you know, listen, it was, I think they threw in those references, and again, it's reference without cause. Mm. That's what you were saying earlier. It's, we're going to throw in these references because this will make it an adult. We don't expect the kids to get a Nixon reference or a Bewitched reference or the Saint or, you know, or the monkeys. We don't expect them to get that. We hope that some of the adults get that, but I'm telling you, nobody in my theater was laughing. I was the only one where somebody did. Yeah. One of my friends was like, what's... What are you laughing at? I'm like,
huge.
That's just funny. So,
I mean, I think I think the time period also gave them. I liked they gave themselves at least a theme for where to draw references from. With the soundtrack, there's a theme that holds to me the music together. So the songs do feel upbeat, but also within the same musical world, which was a different tone than their past movies have had. Like this is the franchise who had. What was it? Pharrell's Happy? Like, that was the song that was attached. I believe it was nominated. And they took a totally different section of music to combine with this. And I thought that was a good choice. And I thought it was strong throughout the film. And same with the time period. It gave them a good through line to getting to Gru. Could they have probably set this anywhere at any time? Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I was surprised they put it in mm-hmm. London.
Yeah.
It's like, what? We're in London?
Well, you know, and the other interesting thing, too, let's talk about the music for a second, is that the composer, Heitor Peria, Okay. Mm-hmm. He did something that was really interesting. You know, because it takes place in the 60s, he actually recorded some of the music using vintage microphones from 50 years ago. And these were microphones that were used by people like the Beach Boys and mm-hmm. Frank Sinatra. And in his humble way, and he wanted to like honor composers like Lalo Schifrin, who I believe may have done The Saint. He definitely did Mission Impossible. Mm-hmm. John Barry and Henry Mancini. And I think his, again, not that anybody will catch the reference, and I was researching, but I just found that sort of kind of cool. And again, when you place a movie too in the 60s, that is a time we're about to change. Mm-hmm. And villainy in the 60s going into the 70s, you can understand why grew, you know, in that time period. So, yeah, it was a good, you know, and showcasing in London was fine, but yeah, I guess it could have been anywhere, true, but the time period to me was sort of kind of fun, I thought.
Fair enough. I'm starting to draw blanks on what we can talk about.
There's not a hell of a lot there to talk about, to be honest with you. I mean, I wish there was more, but there's not.
Well, there was one article that I found, and to me it was the funniest thing. I just cracked up. And this is from the Daily Dot.
We're going to really take a turn here, people. Oh,
okay, here we go.
I just thought this was hysterical, okay? So I found this, the Daily Dot, it just came up, and the Minions are Illuminati servants who faked the moon landing, according to the internet. Spot the Illuminati in Despicable Me. This was a forum. So the Minions represent the drones too stupid to understand the evil they are supporting. If that doesn't have enough to convince you, did you catch the movie was made from Illumination Entertainment? Illumination? Like Illuminati, maybe? So, obviously, this is going over the top. But we did see that the Minions, the moon landing was faked. Actually.
To be fair, they could have been practicing.
That's right.
They could.
You know?
They were filming it?
Pointing some fingers.
Yeah. They were filming their the rehearsal so they can improve their performance.
Yeah, well, here's the thing: you're not going to go to space without getting tested for what the zero force G's and all that.
Because it was 68, and moon landing didn't happen until 69. So
I'm just saying, you know, there have been many conspiracy theories about the moon landing being fake. I don't believe in any of those, but the Minions were there.
Yeah.
So there was another.
That's how you get the kids. You get them early.
Because it goes that Reddit used the organized site. There was an organized site-wide blackout to protest mismanagement. However, if you spin it around, this is obviously a ploy. Open your eyes. Ellen Powell is tied with Comcast and using Just Say No blackout period to force us to view more Minions. Huge if true. I love it. It's huge if true. Minions are the Antichrist. Have you ever heard about the devil and his minions?
Yes.
Right? There you go. It's not a mere coincidence that the word minions is used. David Stewart writes that the message taught by the minions characters are really bad for children. So we have that, but then at the end it comes down to, but since we're now minion experts, we have to wonder, could they actually be agents of God? Yes, think about it. Every time they serve a master, they wind up doing more harm than good. Perhaps they're double agents of God, serving evil in order to stop it. Consider your minds blown. And that's there you go.
All of these from a tadpole that originated with a goggle in place. Already there.
Well, how about this? Let's talk about some fun Easter eggs or anything like that. Okay. If you guys want to. There was the singing in the rain bit.
Mm-hmm. That was great.
I don't think this is exactly an Easter egg, but it was one of my favorite little pieces that they kept splattering throughout, was how they would do the human examples or equivalents of our three main characters.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
They did it in The Dating Game, mm-hmm. was a main one, mm-hmm. where they...
That was fun. It was Kevin.
Yeah. and that one, it was the same name, but they were same type. Also, when we saw them, there's an instance where they... all three kind of catapult themselves through stained glass windows of different looks like either cardinals or popes or some sort of religious icons, icons. And the stained glass that they're jumping through is kind of like a person version of them. So that was one of my favorite little things to spot throughout. And I thought it was interesting to then imagine the minions as their people counterparts.
Did anyone spot Gargamel at Villain Con?
I did not.
Well, he's there. So go see the movie again.
No, but the baby really, really was confusing me because the baby of like the Brady Bunch, villain family really reminded me of the baby in The Incredibles.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. It just kept happening. I was like, they stole the baby from The Incredibles. But I don't think that's an Easter egg. I think that's just my imagination.
I think that may be the case.
You know, we didn't talk about, too, you know, the production of this. Mm-hmm. You know, just going a little bit outside of Easter egg, but the production of this took place between two facilities here, one in Santa Monica, mm-hmm. and then the other one was in Paris. And so you had these, it's Illumination or Illuminati, they shared animation production pipeline was created between the two companies and teams, including visual development artists and story artists. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they were crossing ponds, so to speak.
Should be with tadpoles.
And, you know, and they did a lot of this using today's current technology of iChat and Skype, which I find, you know, which I find very interesting. So, again, that would seem costly, but a $75 million budget. You know, not too shabby. We didn't talk about like reviews for this movie. Now, again,
well, here's why I didn't want to talk about reviews because, well,
if people who are watching this aren't really reviewing it.
No, it's not even that.
Children don't review.
I highly doubt there are 5-year-olds watching us. I think it is a bit of a more sophisticated. But no, I didn't. You know, I don't find us talk. You know, usually we spend a little bit more time, but I didn't necessarily want to talk about it because. It seems like overall, most reviewers are at the place we're at with it.
Yeah.
You know,
54%.
So, you know, rather than bore right. everyone again, but by reiterating what someone else has said, which is exactly what the four of us have said, I just didn't want to beat it over.
But yeah, the cinema score on it, this is an audience thing, was an A. So
what?
It was an A.
Can they survey 5-year-olds?
Yeah. I want to break down those polls.
Let me see your ID.
See the eternal
numbers
on that.
Do you have to be 18?
Do you have to be 18 to
no?
Not your parents.
Ah, then there you go.
I'm sure they're parents. Like, you know, but even they were giving it an A. Look, for whatever the thing, the parents were happy to be able to take the kids out to another family film. Mm-hmm. Okay,
except for those couple moments that Sarah was talking.
Except for those moments that
so much.
But no, I think that for whatever reason, the audience. You know, and whoever's filling those out, too, you know, maybe they were going on a date night. Because it's, as you said, I think Minions, this is a what they call a four-quadrant movie.
No, it wanted to be, right. But it's not. Because the adults...
But the people who went to it.
Yeah, but that's why I'm saying they left money on the table, because the adults are not saying, go see this. Everybody I know that
saw it is like...
Don't bother, is what they're saying. And I'm going, and myself included, my friends are, oh, shoot, I really wanted to see that. But now they're not going to go, because it's just like a waste of their time. And
no, I agree. And I think
sad.
That there were the people who went out there for the date night movie at the beginning, because there's a lot... Like, I know a lot of girls around my age bracket who really love the Minions. Mm. They have, like, Minion pajamas. They, like...
Minion boyfriends.
No, and they would come see it, but I don't know anyone...
Banana.
I don't know anyone who's advocating for this movie.
No, I don't...
Look, we just know that as a family film, it's skewed. Female, 59%, okay? 32% of the ticket buyers are under the age of 13. Mm-hmm. So that's basically where it's at. The non-family audience was also strong at 40%. That was the non-family audience. So this is date night. Mm-hmm. Okay. Caucasians were 45% and Hispanics were 34% made up the majority of the audience. So when you have again, the movie may not have been made for four quadrants, but they pulled four quadrants.
They will initially. I'm just saying that they're, with the adult crowd, they're not going to get they're not going to get the legs they wanted to. I mean, they could have, but they didn't.
No.
The kids will always want to go back, and they'll get that money. And congratulations to them; they made a fine movie for that audience. I'm just saying that.
I mean, here's the thing:
with a little effort, they could have done a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, I what Jurassic World and Inside Out are managing to do, I don't think Minions will do. Minions has gotten, you know, as we said, almost 500 million worldwide. And it'll continue, you know, gaining. But it, you know, now with Ant-Man out and down the pipeline, others, I don't see it being...
Holding up.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll certainly made their money. Congratulations.
They're
going to make another one, so you're going to have to wear those goggles again.
No, that's not going
to
happen.
and let's face it, too. Universal so far this year has had three $100 million movies opening north of $100 million between Furious 7, mm-hmm. Jurassic World, and now Minions. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a studio record. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, I don't know if the drop this weekend Ant-Man will cut into it a little bit. I'm sure, but it all depends on how big. I don't know. How big do you think Ant-Man is going to be?
That is the question.
So,
well, you know. I don't know how big Ant-Man's going to be. Alternate to Ant-Man, you have Trainwreck. So, I mean, yeah, that could be a date movie because, I mean, that's kind of a raunchy rom-com. Yeah.
Sure.
That's so we'll a four-quadrant movie.
That's a very...
But we'll each,
might be more but, concerned but, about that.
I'm not going to bring kids to that
but
one.
Let's look at it. Let's look at... So we made $115 million, right? Mm-hmm. Let's start off very, very optimistic and say it has a 50% drop. So what's that?
57.
Okay.
Yeah.
57.5.
So that's being sort of optimistic. I mean, it could be 45%. Let's just say it does 60. Let's round it up. And it does 60 million. Does either Trainwreck or Ant-Man
beat
60?
I think Ant-Man can.
You know, it's possible.
It's possible.
So that's what, well, now Disney is like saying, we're going to hope for at least a 55 to 60% drop on Minions so that we can claim we're number one. So let's be honest. This year, it's all about Disney and Universal.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That, you know, this year that they're going mano a mano with every single press release that goes out. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens this week and who on Sunday night. And more importantly, who on Monday afternoon is going to tout I'm number one for reals at the box office?
Yeah, we'll find out. All right, let's do last impressions or you know, closing
Papaya.
Thoughts.
Banana.
All right, Sarah.
King Bob.
King Bob.
Last impressions of this were, it was cute. I think they'll make another movie, The Minions. My hope is that the next one has a little bit of a bigger problem for the Minions to encounter. I want conflict within the Minions unit or something so that they can grow. I thought that Sandra Bullock's character, I thought her voice work was very interesting to listen to.
This was the first time she's played a villain, by the way.
Interesting.
Depends.
But it's a cute, fun movie. It just doesn't have a ton of... It doesn't have a great through line. It has some funny scenes, though. You can watch the trailer. If you like the trailer, that's what you're getting in the film.
You'll just get a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just multiply the trailer time by a power of 10.
Exactly.
and you'll get the Minions.
Yeah, with
the
diminishing
Minions.
Return, because the longer you're gone, you go, oh my God.
Yeah, I this movie, for me, it was more fun being in that audience and watching the movie and catching the music references and things like The Saint. And those weren't necessarily things that perpetuated a story. But at the same time, I had to walk out and figure, okay, they just didn't try. They just didn't try. And to them, at this point, I don't think they care. You know, they put out the best movie that they felt in the time given, which is, let's say, 3 years. They released it at a perfect time for them. You know, saying that this movie was not good is almost like it's moot. Because you're telling a five-year-old that Barney sucks, yet the five-year-old shuts up for, you know, however long he's watching TV for. I get it. And the kids, like I said, watching this in a theater with kids, you couldn't help but laugh in one way, shape, or form. So,
speaking of kids, the three Minions, Kevin, Bob, and Stuart, they were made to look like Margot, Agnes, and Edith, Gru's daughters.
And Gru's daughters.
Oh.
That's a nice little.
I didn't get that until I read it.
I didn't get that either.
I didn't get it because. It's a very, you know, obscure and veiled.
And I didn't
look,
know one of them I didn't know one of them had one eye.
Yeah. No, it's because their hair was covering.
By the way, this is straight out of Dr. Seuss.
Fuzzy.
Two have two eyes, and one has one.
Fluffy, thank you.
Oh, there you go. And the other thing too is like they like bananas so much, and this was so slapstickish. Why didn't anybody slip in a banana peel?
Not a thing.
I thought somebody would. That's one person would have slipped in a banana peel. Yeah. But yeah, it is. It is what it is.
Mm. A Russian slips on a banana. That's a reference to Batman 1960.
There you go.
Right. It's ultimately for me a disappointing film because they left so much undone, and I thought they were. I'm going to say it, even though I mean it, but not as an insult, like you guys are lazy, but it seemed like a lazy effort to something. And you 3 years, you ought to be able to come up with something better than that. You started out with great stories, but then it fizzled like crazy, and I think they just left a lot of money and a lot of desire.
Say it. It was a cash grab.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, I don't begrudge them that. Congratulations, they succeeded in that effort, which is great. But they could have made a movie with very little effort on their part, make it a really good movie for other people and for all of us to really enjoy it and want to go back and won't begrudge seeing it again. But they didn't.
Yeah, I mean,
but they have another opportunity to in the future, I'm sure.
The most disappointing part was, you know, I heard. You know, don't bother with this movie. And I was like, you know what? Not because I see movies for this, but just, you know, one of the reasons we do this is because we like movies.
Yeah.
Right? And so I was like, no, I am actually looking forward to Minions. And let me form my own opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you guys say. You know, you don't know what to look for.
No.
Well, what I'm saying is I did go. And unfortunately, I did have the same reaction that I was forewarned I would have. And, you know, it doesn't feel good because I wanted to prove other people wrong. I wanted to have... I did like the jokes and so on. But overall, it wasn't as good as it could have been. And that... is the part that's disappointing to me because I feel like with this, there was so much you could do. Yeah. It's not, you know, and
missed opportunities everywhere.
Yeah. And so and how many movies have we done that we had gone into the movie, maybe with bad publicity, bad press, Terminator Genisys is one of them, where the movie isn't as bad as, like, you know, it's... Yes, you can go look if this movie was in the low teens or 8% on a Rotten Tomatoes, you can pretty much be guaranteed that it's gonna like be a stinkeroo.
Those are my favorite movies, by the way.
But it's what we do, and we've discussed a lot of movies that aren't in favor with critics. Mm-hmm. And you know, and you're right, you go in with the optimism and the hope that, you know, what are they talking about? This one sort of kind of lived up to what?
It lived up to its mediocrity.
Yes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, you know, if you're watching, you're listening, you know, let us know your thoughts on this. We'd love to hear them. You know, let us know, is this the first sort of despicable franchise movie that you've seen? If you've seen all three, let us know. Just let us know your thoughts. We appreciate it. By the way, if this is your first time watching us, welcome to the show. Again, sometimes we don't necessarily agree with the movies, but we try to have a discussion around it as best we can. Other times we love the movies. So, you know, which by the way, speaking of Terminator Genisys, a lot of people say, you know, are very thankful that we actually liked the movie because it is a good movie and many people did actually enjoy
it. Fine.
We've got Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl coming up. We've got, as you know, mentioned Ant-Man. We've got Trainwreck. American Ultra down the pipeline.
Mission Impossible 5.
Mission Impossible 5, so on and so forth.
You got to give Trainwreck guts for naming it Trainwreck because it's just so easy. Because if this thing isn't good, then Trainwreck is so aptly named.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, guys, thank you for joining us on another Anatomy of Movie. D Movies 1701 for Dimitri.
Mm-hmm. Please follow. Please say hello.
Yes.
Hashtag Sarah Stratton. Hashtag get social media for Sarah Stratton. Hashtag John Comerford. Hashtag get social media.
Hashtag John and Sarah. We will survive an apocalypse.
That's right.
And follow us here at Movie Anatomy for Anatomy of a Movie, and at The Popcorn Talk for Popcorn Talk. Speaking of Popcorn Talk, and, you know, we made some predictions about how it's going to do, you know, it's in its second week. You can find out how it does on Sarah's show every Monday called Box Office Breakdown. And that's just one of many, many shows that we do here at the network. Dimitri and I just did a show for iTalkMovies where we interviewed the writer of the Sharknado franchise.
Awesome.
We have Marvel movie news, speaking of Ant-Man. We have DC movie news. We have
Jedi Alliance.
I mean, the list goes on and on.
I'm going to be on Jedi Alliance this week.
There you go. And for more movie news, go to schmoesknow.com. Thank you, guys. We'll see you on the next dissection.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the rest of the Anatomy of a Movie staff, we would like to thank you for listening and subscribing to the show. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email or tweet us. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been Anatomy of a Movie.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.